Tai, thank you so much for being here with us today. It's an honor to have you to speak to our designer stylist and everybody else who is tuning in. Tai really needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. He spent years in the fashion industry. He was Beyoncé's stylist for 18 years, and now he styles Billy Porter. He is an author, and he has his own fashion line. Tai has truly made his mark in the fashion world. So first of all, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So recently you released a book, and for me personally, it was such a discovery of who you are beyond what many already know. Of course, most people recognize you as Beyoncé's stylist, but there is so much more to your journey. Could you share how it all began and what led you to where you are today?
First off all, I want to just get back to you guys. Thank you all for coming. I'm just really excited. I love flying solo. You guys are like family. So, of course, you guys know that flying solo is everything, and I'm just happy to be here. Okay, a little bit about me. I started in the medical field. I used to work on artificial heart valves, sit on their microscope and work on heart valves, and made really good money, loved it. But I found out one of my really, really good friends had a scar one night. We were getting dressed, and I was like, what's up with you? You've been shot, Tupac. No, I have a heart valve. So although I know it's making it for other humans, this place became a place I dreaded. My numbers went down. I was very depressed, and I was like, I need to do something else. So the president at the time had family leave where you could leave your job for 3 months. It wasn't guaranteed that you could keep your job for 3 months, but I was cool with my boss. So I just made up a lie. Sorry. Made up a lie and was like, Tai, we love you here. You can come back whenever. I lived in Austin, Texas at the time. So I contacted my cousin who lived in Houston because I needed a change. And I called my cousin in Houston and I was like, can I come stay with you for a month? And when I got to Houston, I was like, I'm not going back to Austin. So I'm like bigger than Austin at this point because Austin at the time was very black or white. And I loved Houston because it was at the time a little small New York. So I knew I wanted to be there and learn. And the fashion, the Galleria Mall back then had all of the good stuff. So it was like, this is where I'm supposed to be. So I went to Houston and I partied for like two of the months I partied hard. And I was like, okay, you're running out of money. You better get a job. And my first job in Houston was a place called TJ Maxx. And I did visuals for Home Good. And I loved all visuals, would fix like these beautiful displays. I knew I was doing a good job because everything was selling out. So I went from there and I was walking in the Galleria Mall one day. And I didn't know that it was a Galleria 2. I always went to Galleria 1 where they have like this ice skating rink and like all the top stores, Fendi, Prada, everything is there. But I walked through Neiman's one day and there was a whole nother mall. And I was like, what the hell? Like, where did this come from? Like, it's Galleria 1, 2, and 3. So I went in Galleria 2 and there was a store playing Bob Marley with palm trees and a waterfall and river flowing through it. And I was like, what the hell is this? I need this. So I went inside and a guy there, it was a Bluey family of Vietnamese brothers who owned this place. He was like, I like your style. You want to work here? I was like, yeah. And so I got recruited to work there. They hired me as a manager. You can tell me anything. And I'm just like, yeah, take off for 2 weeks, whatever. I just be there all day by myself working. And I was like, this is not for me. So they let me do the visual. Around that time, Destiny's Child were like local legends. No, No, No was on the radio. One day, Miss Tina Knowles, she is Beyonce's mom, she walked in and immediately, if any of you ever meet her, you'll know that she just has this presence that you just feel like she's your aunt or your mom or your friend. You automatically just feel like you know her. And so we just connected, being that my mom was 4 hours away in Austin, Texas. But we connected and the rest is pretty much history. When things came in that looked like Destiny's Child, I would contact her and let her know about the stuff. And just through time, I ended up getting recruited for the guest store. And Miss Tina would come. So that's when everybody was wearing the denim jacket with the colored denim pants. And then I got recruited to BB. Now, when I got to BB, you couldn't tell me nothing. I was like the man because BB was like the place back in the day. And I'm sure some of you have some of those rhinestone t-shirts in your drawer as we speak. I started working at BB, and BB kind of just, when my life really changed, I started getting celebrity clientele. And one day, and I started meeting each girl from Destiny's Child separately, except for Beyonce. I knew Kelly and Michelle would come to town and we would hang out and we just became close. And one day they were filming A Day in the Life of Destiny's Child. I think it was probably for MTV or something, and they all came in, and Miss Tina, like, everybody was like, Ty, and I helped out and put them in dressing rooms and stuff, and Miss Tina was like, I need help. I'm going to get you out of here one day, and I didn't believe her, but I had a day off, and it was a depressing day, and I called her, and I was like, Miss Tina, I'm just seeing if you need any help today, and she was like, yeah, baby, I need help. Meet me at such and such, such and such, and I called a cab to her, and I immediately started working on the Survivor video. It was my first job, and the Grammy was my first job. And that's the cliff notes to all of that.
Well, that's really amazing. And as I mentioned, we have a lot of stylists and designers here today, and many of them really look up to you. They aspire to reach your level one day. To some, it might seem like you were an overnight success, like you just happened to run into Beyoncé's mom. She loved your style and everything took off from there. But of course, we all know it took years of hard work and dedication. What would you say to those who are hoping to follow a similar path? Obviously, not everyone can count on a chance of meeting Beyoncé's mom. But what does it really take to become a celebrity stylist? Also, could you share what you think is the biggest difference between an editorial stylist and a celebrity stylist? I know they involve a very different type of work, so I'd love to hear more about that from your perspective.
If I had to sum it all up, I'd say this. Closed mouths don't get fed, period. When you find yourself in the room with people who could change your life, even if it's just for a moment, you gotta speak up. You can't let fear or rejection hold you back. I'd rather go home and say, I met so-and-so and they were a B-I-T-C-H, than sit there quiet, hoping maybe I'll see them next week and try again. You feel me? Because the weight of not taking that chance, the way it chips away at your spirit, that's worse than just going for it and hearing a no. At least you tried. At least you know. And for me, listen, I'd much rather work with a small, hungry designer than go pull something from a big name brand. That's easy. I want to find that kid in Brooklyn who's sewing all night in their living room, putting their soul into their work. Yeah, that's where the magic is. That's who I want to help. I've helped a lot of up-and-comers because I believe in planting seeds. That's why I love working with people like Beyoncé, Billy Porter, Destiny's Child. For them, it's not about labels. It's not about the brand. It's about the look. If it's hot, it's hot. Period. I can't stand when people get so caught up in labels. Fashion is supposed to be fun. It's about expression and feeling good. And editorial? Look, I remember back in the day you'd say, oh, that's so editorial, and it meant something bold, something out there. Now people are walking around wearing full-on editorial looks to brunch. The lines have blurred, and that's okay because fashion is evolving. Just go for it. Wear what makes you feel alive. One of my favorite things to say is this. We're not born with clothes on. Our first outfit is our skin. So get comfortable in that first. Once you love what's in the mirror, once you can look at yourself and say, you good? And your reflection says, I'm good. Then you're ready. Go out, do your thing, and don't let anyone tell you different. Because people are gonna talk either way. Just make sure they're talking while you're living your truth.
Ty, thank you so much for sharing this advice. Now, if you could put yourself in their shoes, because I know many of them are actually seeking guidance, especially the younger members of the audience who are just starting their careers. How does one land their very first gig in this industry? What should they do? What should they avoid? And most importantly, how can they continue progressing and hopefully reach the level you are at one day?
I just think you have to be persistent. For me, I check my DM. A lot of stylists do. But if you're going to call yourself a stylist, your page or your website has to reflect that. I need to see stylist material. We're not trying to read a novel. Hit us with two or three strong sentences and visuals that speak for themselves. Make it easy for us to see what you're about. There's so much talent out there, But what really makes someone stand out is having the courage to put yourself out there. Don't be afraid. Just go for it. And let me tell you this, take social media breaks, please. That's one of the biggest issues today. It's a gift and a curse. You start scrolling and comparing. Why not me? I'm better than that. If she wore my look, it would have hit harder. If I styled that, it would have been fire. But all that energy, it's draining. Instead, reflect on your own work. Grow your craft. Be your own competition. That's how I've stayed in this game for over 2 decades. I don't see my peers as competition. I'm always trying to outdo myself, and I help others too. I'll walk into a showroom and say, "This looks like Katy Perry's vibe. Let me call her stylist." We've got to support each other more. Fashion can be a really ugly place, and I know I might not be supposed to say that, but I'm gonna keep it real. It's ugly. The judgment, the egos, the tearing down, I hate that part of it. What's helped me last? I stay humble, I stay grateful, I don't judge people. I don't tear folks down for Met Gala looks. You know how much goes into that? Hair, makeup, styling. And at the end of the day, if they feel beautiful, that's all that matters. Who am I to say otherwise? That mindset is part of why I stepped away from styling Beyoncé. I needed space. And then during the pandemic, I get this FaceTime from Billy Porter. I had never even met him before. He says, "Hey Queen, I need you to come out of retirement." We talked for hours, and you know what? It inspired me. I love Billy because he's over 50. I'm over 50, and it reminded me, age is just a number. We've got to stop limiting ourselves. You're never too old to create, to dream, to start again. As long as you're alive, you've got purpose. Go live it.
Thank you for that. You talk a lot about mental state and how it affects you. So for you, it's not about competition. But when you are a young designer or stylist, it's hard not to fall into that mindset of, why not me? Like, why was my dress pulled but never end up on celebrity? Or why was my jewelry chosen but not featured on the cover? So when the next person is facing that kind of disappointment, what do you say to keep going? Not to be angry at the situation or the stylist or photographer or editor or whoever decided that it wasn't right for the magazine. How do you personally deal with that and move forward?
For me, I truly believe that when it's your time, it's your time. Nothing can stop it. You just have to trust that and keep pushing forward. If something didn't happen the way you wanted, it's because something greater is on the way. When I shifted my mindset to that, everything changed. Sometimes things worked out beautifully, and other times something even better came along, and I'd realize that's why the other thing didn't happen. If I had stayed in that space, I wouldn't have been able to receive the blessing that came later. That's why it's so important to change your mindset and believe that better is coming. It's okay to feel down or even depressed, but give it an expiration date. Write it on your mirror if you have to. Snap out of it tomorrow. Then follow through. Pick yourself back up. That's just how life works. Nothing bad lasts forever, but neither does the good. Life is a cycle. And I know it sounds strange, but sometimes when I hit a dark moment, I get a little excited because I know it means something better is coming. I'm supposed to learn something here that's going to help me grow. So I ask myself, what am I meant to learn right now to help me become a better version of myself? Don't run from those moments. Don't numb them with drinking or sex or distractions. Face them. Get the lesson. That's what helps you elevate and grow into deeper self-love and inner peace. Once I started doing that, everything shifted. My mindset became stronger. I realized this is just life. It's how we grow and evolve. So in those dark times, take a moment, pray, meditate, write in your journal. Ask yourself, what am I supposed to learn here? And if you're a good person doing the right things, the universe, God, your ancestors, whatever you believe in, they're not going to keep letting bad things happen to you. Sometimes it's just karma balancing things out. But when your heart is good, better days are always coming. Just be still, meditate, listen, learn. That's how you move to the next level of who you're meant to become.
Let's talk about designers for a moment. I know that many designers ask us this question, and I'd love to hear your perspective. When you're creating a collection, you spend months, sometimes even a whole year working on it. You see it every day, and eventually doubt can creep in. You start wondering, is it good enough? Is it ready for the world? Is it strong enough for a fashion show or a photo shoot? That self-doubt is real. So how do you know when it's good enough? How do you keep moving forward? How do you find the balance between continuing to refine your work as a professional and recognizing when it's time to release it and move on to the next collection?
I just think it's about trusting what you feel in your heart. If it feels good, it probably is. Now, one takeaway I want to share, especially with designers, is this. There are a lot of creative people out there, but lining is important. Like, it might be beautiful on the outside, and then you look inside and you're like, girl, what is this? I can't give this to anybody. So make sure the lining is right. Go through your work and make sure the quality is there, because quality matters. It really does. And you know, I just feel like you'll know when it's your time. Let me tell you this too. Don't expect support from the people you think are going to support you. 9 times out of 10, it's not going to happen. I'm a living witness to that. But don't let it get you down. The people you assume will be there for you, a lot of times they won't. You're going to get more support from strangers than you will from friends and family. And that's just how it is. I'm telling you, I'm a walking testimony to that truth. Yeah, it might make you sad. It might weigh on you, but don't let it stop you. Keep pushing, keep going. Trust me, it will happen.
As a young designer, let's say you've created a beautiful collection that you are really proud of, and you are at that point when you are ready to release into the world. So what do you do next? What advice would you give? How does a young designer start reaching out to stylists like you? What do they need to have prepared to make that outreach worth your time? So when someone contacts you, you actually want to take a look at their collection. And what makes a designer stand out and get noticed in a meaningful way?
I would say just reach out. Reach out to stylists, their assistants, anyone connected. And don't overlook beautiful showrooms like this one. Set up meetings with them. These are the people really doing the work, as you all know. At the end of the day, it's about investing in yourself. Once you truly believe in what you're doing, you want to invest in yourself. So take those meetings, connect with the right people, and find out if that showroom or stylist is the right fit to help get your designs in front of the type of celebrities or clients you dream of working with. It's about being intentional and making the moves to get your work seen.
So do designers need to have a lookbook or a line sheet ready when they reach out to you, or when they reach out to a showroom or stylist reaches out to them?
I definitely believe you should have some high quality photos. And if you don't have the budget, that's not an excuse. Go find an up and coming photographer. Link up with a hair and makeup artist who's just starting out. There are so many talented people who are also building their books. Find a muse or model who needs new shots. You can do this on the low. That's the thing. People let fear get in the way. I don't have the funds. I don't know where to go. But you've got social media. Use it. There's so much talent out there looking to collaborate. Pull a small team together, shoot on the weekend, and knock out 6 strong looks. Just start building your book, because when you're ready to reach out to stylists, celebrities, or showrooms, they're going to want to see it. They need visuals. They want to say, oh, that's hot. And make sure you show versatility, how your pieces can be styled in different ways. Make it stand out. That's how you start getting noticed.
And from your personal preference, because I know different stylists have different opinions. When you're looking at designer's portfolio, whether it's on social media or something a showroom sends you, how do you like to see the collection? Do you prefer clean, simple looks or the piece on its own? Or do you like seeing it already styled in multiple ways? What's the most helpful for you as a stylist when reviewing a new collection?
Me personally, I'm all about energy. You could be a high-end designer, but if your energy's off, I'm not working with you, period. That's just me. I love the hunger. I love seeing someone who's really putting their heart into it, who's passionate about their craft. That moves me. Even if you're just starting out, even if you're barely making it work, if the passion is there, I see that. There was this one kid, Quira Wong, he was amazing. He saved up and created a whole collection with almost nothing. But the energy, the drive, the creativity, it was all there. I believed in him, and I was able to get Billy to wear one of his pieces that ended up in Vogue and Elle. So for me, it's about energy. It's not just about what you make. It's the spirit behind it. That's what draws me in.
Ty, I love that you're saying this right now, because as Flying Solo, we also believe that working with kind and genuine people is the way to go. You mentioned earlier how competitive and sometimes at kind this industry can be, and that is 100% true. But we also believe that kindness is the way forward. It might not be the easiest way to get things done, but in the long run, it's what truly builds lasting connection and success in this industry.
Kindness moves slower. Being a good person, it takes longer, but when it hits hard. You've earned it. And the beautiful part is you've got more people cheering for you at the finish line because you didn't have to burn bridges or step on anyone to get there. I don't know why people think that in fashion you have to be cold or mean to succeed. I hate that. That whole you have to have an attitude to make it mindset, I just don't buy into it. I always lead with kindness. That's just who I am. And honestly, it throws some people off at first because they expect me to walk in acting a certain way. But I stay true to myself. And what's interesting is once they let their guard down, I get to see their real, authentic selves. And I'm like, why can't you just be like this with everyone? But I get it. That's just how the fashion world has been conditioned. Still, I'm here to show that you can be kind, you can be real, and still win.
And speaking of kindness, what do you think are the best practices when it comes to showing gratitude? For example, as a stylist, you've worked with so many designers, some incredibly grateful and some not so much. So from your perspective, what's been your best experience with a designer in terms of how they showed appreciation? What's the best way for a designer to thank a stylist? What feels meaningful to you? Is it a personal DM, a handwritten note, a tag on your social media? And what's your advice for how to properly say thank you and really show that you value the support and collaboration?
Just say thank you. However you say thank you, that's enough. If your thank you is sending over a dozen roses, great. If it's taking someone to lunch or just sending a DM like, thank you so much for the opportunity, that's beautiful too. It doesn't take a lot. But I've helped a lot of people who, once they make it, completely change. They forget. They become these different people. And it's unfortunate. Now, I'm not the kind of person who's going to go around saying, I helped you do this. That's not me. When I help someone, I do it from the kindness of my heart because I genuinely believe in them, not because I expect anything in return. But I do appreciate when people stay grounded and grateful. Sometimes it's as simple as saying thank you in an interview, like shout out to Ty Hunter for believing in me. That means a lot. Because too often people get to the top and act like you were never part of the journey. And that's the part that stings. Gratitude doesn't cost a thing, but it speaks volumes. And I just want to say this to all the stylists out there. It's so important to appreciate and thank the interns, for real. You can't just walk in like I'm the stylist and overlook these young girls and guys who are back there working their butts off. Everybody's out here trying to shine, saying, look at me, look at me. But sometimes it's about just stopping for a second and saying, I see you. That acknowledgement goes a long way. It can be as simple as, hey, I love your hair today, or that's a cute outfit. Just little things to let people know they matter. And it's not about being fake. That's just who I am. I genuinely believe in showing love and respect. Interns are so important. They're part of the glue that holds it all together. So please always acknowledge them. Let them know they're seen. And last thing I want to mention, you just gotta stick to it. Don't second guess yourself. I know sometimes you're like, am I too expensive? Is this too much? Number, whatever price you set, stand on it. Believe in your worth. It might not happen overnight, but when it hits, it will hit. You just gotta keep pushing, keep believing, and keep going. And before we close, I want to leave y'all with this. We are all human. Don't ever walk into a room and feel like you don't belong. If you're in that room, you were meant to be in that room. God don't make mistakes. Nobody in there is better than you. We all got different gifts, and that's the beauty of it. I could be working on a photo shoot or a black tie gala. Either way, I show up as me. Don't hold back because you feel like I don't fit in. You do. You belong. So pull it together, fix your crown, and go make it happen. And this one's important too. Learn to be alone. Take a solo trip. Bring your journal. Turn your phone off for a minute. Meditate. Get quiet enough to hear the answers that are already inside you. Life ain't perfect. I've been through it. Lost my father while both my parents were battling cancer. I was the caretaker. I still struggle. But even in all that pain, I had to keep believing that I was worth something. And so are you. If people around you aren't feeding your soul, I don't care if it's family or friends, if they're draining you, have that talk. And if it still ain't right, let them go. You need folks who lift you up, who see your vision, who remind you that you can do this. That kind of support is everything. If someone was only meant to be in your life for a season, thank them for the lesson and keep it moving. Keep growing. Keep rising. I believe in you. You got this. I'm here if you ever need me. Thank y'all so much. I'm honestly just tired, but deeply grateful. Thank you for sharing this moment with me. And to everyone joining us on the live stream, thank you. It's been an honor. I know some of y'all even flew in to be here, and that means the world. So thank you.
Ty, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Ty's incredible book, Makeover From Within, is out now on Amazon and Audible. It's such a powerful, inspiring read. So go get your copy, whether you're reading or listening. You do not want to miss it.
Makeover From Within is my memoir, and y'all, I'm so proud of it. Beyonce wrote the foreword. Billy Porter wrote the afterword. And I've got contributions from Rosario Dawson, Kelly Osbourne, Jennifer Hudson, Kelly Rowland, Michelle Williams, Tina Knowles, Naomi Campbell. I mean, so many amazing people who gave me my flowers. That meant the world to me. This book is my story. It's called Makeover From Within for a reason, because real change starts on the inside. I'm transparent, I'm real, and I laid it all out. The obstacles, the pain, the lessons, everything I went through to get where I am. I've been shot in both legs. I had to learn how to walk again. I've been through a lot, but I'm still here. And I wanted people to know that side of me before I ever did a fashion book. The fashion book will come later. This one is about the journey. You can grab the book on Amazon or go to tytryone.com. And if you read it, please leave a comment. Be honest. Tell me what you think. That feedback means a lot. If you've got questions, if you need advice, I'm always down to support.